and welcome to Side Dish, your podcast about Longmont. Everything you want to know and very little that you need to know. I am your host, Brady Steffel, joined today by...
Annie Larner.
And also by...
Amanda Maldonado from Koi Ink Studio.
Ooh.
Koi Ink Studio.
Yeah, it was fun. Okay, so I saw her, where were you? My brain is Swiss cheese, so where?
The Firehouse Art Center.
Firehouse Art Center, and I walked in and saw your cute little downtown
garden. Mm-hmm. The maps, yep.
Yeah, so wanted a mug, kind of blew my budget already for the day, and it's like.
Small business Saturday for you.
I know, it's like, it's
can't help
cool.
it.
So, as a sucker for Longmont and cute art.
Yeah, thank you.
I was super into it, and it may yet happen.
Yeah, so we're really excited to have you.
Thank you. I'm super excited to be here.
So we'll jump into the buzz around town. What's been going on, Longmont? Sorry. And by the way, listeners, I'm sorry that we took forever to drop the last episode. Yeah. It was a great one. Macy May from the mm-hmm. Longmont Leader came on, and we just couldn't get our stuff together.
Yeah, Annie's act couldn't get it together. It was all she.
We're gonna be on it.
She had her marbles and lost them. They were everywhere. So you can do the same with noodles. Lost her noodles. So what's been going on? I have been working on grants.
Exclusively.
Yeah.
Okay.
Annie, and then it took even longer because Annie's like, can you send me the blurb for the This is what Annie sounds like. She puts on a show voice.
Is that my text voice
to
you?
Yeah, she's like, hey, can you take care of the blurb? And I'm just like, I am up to my eyes. And I was working like 8 hours nonstop writing. Sit in the chair, write. Like, I'd start, play guitar for 2 hours. Right from 10 to 6.
Yeah.
Like, get up and be like, wow. Oh, let's go.
Hey, real quick, and this may be relevant to you too. Have you ever heard of this book called The War of Art?
Not yet.
Highly recommend. Very mm-hmm. good. And it applies like to everything. It's not just the guy's an artist, and he wrote it to sort of address his own what he calls resistance when it comes to getting up and working and getting after his projects and being self-motivated. But honestly, it applies to really any vocation, honestly, and I found it to be relevant in my own life. And they're sort of written like proverbs almost, where like each day it's something really short and digestible, but it's organized well.
Nice.
Highly recommend War of Art.
So Pablo Picasso quote, motivation is real, but it has to find you working. Something along those lines.
Yeah. Nice. Yep. Exactly.
So
exactly.
Or inspiration is real, but it has to find you working. Exists. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Mm-hmm. And that's a big one. So if you're a creative... The big thing is get your butt in the chair, the studio, whatever. So for me, for writing, you got to do it because sometimes I'm like, oh, this is just...
You got to find your mind and body hacks.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we have to be out of here at 5 on the dot because Amanda has a hot day with her husband to do what is it at 5?
Stretching.
just stretching? Are you going
It's a standing appointment.
Just like...
A standing 5 p.m. daily appointment to do stretching. I think it's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to just end the workday doing something physical and then transition into not working.
Yeah.
It's like a hard stop.
It's tough work. If you work from home and you do stuff that's like sort of like you enjoy and it's sort of like, you know.
Yeah, when you're self-employed and you love what you do for work, it's easy to just constantly be thinking about it. And if I don't have some sort of buffer... Then I'm still like processing and analyzing and planning and marketing in my head constantly. Right. I'm like, I just want to like be a person, not a business for a few hours.
Sweet. I like it.
Be a human. Well, all right. We'll try to not too sure. Speaking of, apparently we were talking about Longmont. Has anything happened? I was talking about work.
Yeah. Well, so this I think is notable. Small Planet E-Bikes has been rebranded. To Spice E-Bikes.
Mm-hmm.
And
the spice must flow.
Yeah. I think that the someone bought the shop from the former owner, Tom, who he's had this place for like 20 years, I swear.
He was ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Because it opened on Hoover and 17th up there where that game shop is.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he used to be. I bought a scooter from him like forever ago. And it was even
the
then
coolest
he was like.
Person I know.
It was a very terrible, non-environmentally friendly two-stroke scooter from China. And I think even he, you know, felt like morally, you know, whatever.
Bankrupt.
Kind of. He was like, because there weren't really e-scooters at the time, but I wanted a scooter. And he was one of the people that like, sold them or whatever. So he was like, kind of ahead of the scooter curve. Of course, ahead of the e-bike curve forever. And then later he moved downtown to Longspeak in Maine or roughly there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and has been there forever, and I've been wondering what's going on. And so, yeah, one of the, I think maybe this guy was an former employee or something. I'm not sure. And
we got the good
news. Oh, no, it's a woman, Amy Wilkins. I'm sorry, Amy, for misgendering you. Miss Amy Wilkins bought it and is now Spice E-Bikes. So we'll see what's on the horizon for them as they reimagine the shop, which is super cool.
For the record, I've had a couple of scooters, too. I'm going to throw shade about scooters because they're a little, you know, like, not the coolest necessarily, but I've...
Oh, I love
I love riding scooters. No, I had a series of motorcycles, and before that I had scooters, and then, sorry, I overlap. I don't discriminate. It's cool. Whatever. I learned about some low-water gardening options that you can take seminars for in Longmont. Isn't that cool? Is that a cool thing?
This is cute, writers. Her vision for the store is to capitalize on the intimate setting of the shop and offer outstanding personal customer service paired with a spice rack of e-bike options.
Cute. That's such a great
spice
name.
Spice e-bikes. Yeah, it's cute. So cool. Congrats to Amy Wilkinson.
So anyway, I learned about low water.
Mess it up again. Options. Okay. So the Kids Galaxy Co.
Are you listening to me at all?
What'd you say?
It's like the third time. I learned about low water landscaping basics that you can take seminars for in Longmont. Are you here? Are you here today? Where you at?
I am present.
I was wondering if that was a segue.
I'm just like, what in the hell is this, like, a recurring bit? Like, I just get ignored. We got until 5 o'clock. We're getting out of here. I don't care about
it. E-bikes are the only important subject at the point.
I think my headphones just cut out. That's all. That's what happened.
You can hear me over there. You can hear me down the block. Oh my God. Anyway.
All right, hit us.
Yeah, apparently you can take some seminars on regenerative ag, garden prep, Xeriscape. This was posted on the Longmont website. I think just on the Longmont website. I don't know that these are necessarily produced by Longmont, but where we live, it's cool, right? It's pretty neat. Denver Urban Gardens is putting on one. Let's see if it's all the same. Any Drylands Agroecology Research, Amy Skaneswolf. So, like, it seems like it's pretty good.
Actually wrote a book about Longmont.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Nice. And she owns a farm in Niwot.
Oh. Yeah, so we got some real experts.
She's really cool.
Well.
Who is it?
Amy Skaneswolf. She wrote historical fiction on the history or the founding of Longmont called Between Grass and Hay.
What? Yeah, I've never heard of this.
It's so good.
Oh, yeah. Love stories?
No, it's just it. It's just a really
Death
good
stories?
Historical fiction.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think she wants the second book to be like a prequel going back to the Sand Creek Massacre.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty dark.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to read that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, awesome. No
Shout
idea.
Out to Amy.
No, that's super cool.
Cool. Yeah. So apparently we've got some experts, some farmers, some locals, some dramatic folk.
We'll have to do this spring like a gardening options roundup. For
I agree.
But you know, just everything from the garden in the box things to where's to get bees and these kind of, like seminars, who knows.
We should get going because it's like January and you want that like mid-February.
That is,
you know?
No, really?
Yeah,
really?
You're going to start your starts inside. You want to
at least
prepped.
Make your plan ahead of time.
Yeah, you got to make
your... so much effort.
All right. You know who we should have on here is Rich from the Massa Seed Foundation.
Sure.
That you brought up a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
He's a hoot.
Bring
That'd
him
be
on.
Super fun.
Yeah. People, look, right. I have to go back to weekly. We get all these ideas, and we'll run out. We're like,
we can't like, even drop our episodes.
No, we can't. Yeah, it'd just be like, oh, I want to put the old one up before I get the new one out.
I know, exactly.
Yeah, there's
we'll
a,
archive that
this
one.
Friday, there's something going on at the art house. So you can get these seminars. You can learn more. I think if we're going to do anything, you know, mid-February, mid-March, because you have to, if you're going to start stuff inside, you got to plan that, you know, like, then you got to have time. You got to plan. You got to think. Takes a lot of brain.
Sweet.
All the brain.
All right. Am I good? Am I good?
Jump in. Yeah, I didn't say anything else.
This Kids Galaxy co-opened it 350 Terry, which is the old times call building. And it's got a bunch of, they had Co-Solve in there. And
Kids Galaxy
yeah,
Co?
So it's like an indoor playground, basically, for kids.
What?
Yeah, so it's a place where kids can become happier. Here you can play fun games, celebrate a party, visit interesting circles, and which is kind of a weird way to write that, and become a club member. So they have, you know, it sort of feels like a miniature children's museum or so. And it's just decorated really cute and just has all kinds of, it feels like a preschool classroom in some ways where there's fun stuff to play with and art and all kinds of stuff. And you can come hang out. So check it out. Indoor playground. Those are kind of like popping up right now. Like everything from like maybe this looks like it's geared more towards like pre-K all the way up to a little older where you have like bonafide like equipment that feels like a playground, but it's inside for the winter months where like moms and dads can gather and hang out while the kids like play or whatever.
Hot VIPs really nice. On tap or whatever.
That's a good idea.
That would be good. There's pseudo being watched by even like it's like the it's not tragedy of the commons, but it's like when everybody's supposed to be sort of half watching so nobody does and then
right.
Some it's kids like my arm is like you know flopping around. It's like God. It's not supposed to do that. So I don't know if you're sure this one. The Longmont Housing Authority, you can cut this one out if you have to, is considering putting meth detectors in some of the units that they have, apparently. Mm. So, yeah, that's kind of
crazy. That's great. That's wonderful.
And then they're saying it may be maybe a deterrent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I mean, there's families and kids and stuff. That's not okay.
I think one of the big issues with that in particular is how destructive it is to, like, the whatever the edifice it's being used inside of, like it becomes toxic and then it has to be remediated. And they're saying, yeah, it could be a few thousand, but it could be $250,000 for remediating space. So,
Makes sense. The local theater closed. Remember the one over there by Hobby Lobby?
I do.
And we had them on as a guest for a little while, kind of like a family style theater, like essentially overnight, just closed their doors. So they are no longer.
Oh, that's too bad.
I know. Nice rest folks. In peace. I know. They did. Eric was his name, maybe? Yeah. Is that familiar? He grew up in Longmont. He's a local guy, and he and his wife kind of got that started. And I don't know the circumstances, but I know it is no longer. So we now have no theater in Longmont between Jester's.
Is Jester still open?
They're still operating, but I don't think it's like it's hanging on by a thread a little bit. Are they still
doing performances at the Longmont Theater
company? Oh, yeah. What are they doing over there?
I think I saw something about I Hate Hamlet isn't a show that's coming up this
month. Okay, so they're running a little theater company. Sorry, yeah. So there is some. Yeah. That's true.
It's very volunteer-based, though, so I think with everything volunteer, it's like whoever has the most steam keeps it going.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
Interesting. Well, yeah, it's bygone time, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah.
Huh. That venue. I'm pondering that
I
venue.
Saw them lit up. I was walking downtown, and I was like, oh, my God, they have neon lights. Like
Their marquee
the pillars, not just the marquee, but the pillars that go up and down the building are like bright blue and green and pink. And I was like, I don't think I've ever seen these lights on before.
Isn't that the one they like raised a bunch of money for a few years ago to work on that? Or was that a failed initiative?
I don't know. I don't know either. I would think that could be something, but... No, I did not. I'm not fully researched.
All of we just sit around.
I just know the building looks so pretty.
Make things up.
It's
I mean,
okay.
I love to see those types of buildings on Main Street.
Yeah.
Like, sort of with character and stuff being.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're swinging your phone around. Like,
I'm just fidgeting.
I got something for you. It's nothing.
It's not their best fidget spinner. It's very fragile.
Okay, so some restaurant news. I heard, although I had not personally validated, that the Mariposa is awesome. Yes, I've heard it. This is the one that opened in the Bojo's Pizza.
Yeah.
Originally on Ken Pratt, over there by Ken Pratt and like Bowen or South Park or wherever it was. And they've been working on that build out forever. And I've heard the food's great. The whole vibe is great. Mm-hmm. They just did not mess around on the build out. So check her out. Yeah. A friend of mine went last Saturday and said she waited like an hour and a half or something.
Really?
Was the wait. Yeah.
Their breakfast food looks so yummy. They've got like all kinds of pancakes and waffles and French toast. And I was like,
good to know. Yum.
It's a great bunch of places.
Because, like, I don't like punching down on, like, local business. But I was checking the subreddit, and some of the conversation was, there was just a flippy floppy hand waving.
A flippy floppy hand?
They're just kind of like, yeah, I don't know. Like, not the new location, but they're like, Mariposa.
Well, that's how I always felt about it. But what I'm hearing, it sounds like they're very busy. So
that's awesome.
Worth checking out.
I'm glad to hear it, because, you know, sometimes you get a little revitalization. Boulder County was awarded $4.9 million to install some more electric vehicle charging stations.
Yay.
Where? Like around city
just
properties?
Like around, I think.
Nice.
I know I posted this a few days ago, so I'm trying to remember. People worry that they won't be able to figure stuff out. Oh, that's me. We're listening to you. This is I'm like looking at Annie. So they're talking about.
Usually it's me.
I don't. What I don't like. It's like one of my big gripes about like the news websites is that they're like
auto.
Did you
want to
watch this movie? No, we're gonna try again in 10 minutes. I used to just dump a bunch of tabs, like open stuff up, and like leave it open and bring my laptop, and then they would just like all start playing after it had been sitting idle for 8 or 12 minutes, and so you're like, which one is it? You little cheeky, where are you? You know, and you're like hunting around, and it's like, dude, I don't, just don't care. I told you no, no means no. It's one of those. See? I already said, I'm not going to tell you where. I'm not going to read anymore. They got some money. They want to put it up. More charging. Write me and tell me where it's at, because I can't stand this 9 News website. There you go.
You know, I've heard some gripes that I don't think are entirely illegitimate, that we shouldn't have these public charging stations paid for by the city, for which serve a very small portion of the population. Like, they'll get their free power from, because it's kind of a luxury. It's a nice to have when you have an electric car and they're expensive to power and your bill goes up. And so it's like, oh, I'll just go juice off the city or whatever.
Call
and all the rest
years
of us are paying
when,
for that.
Like, we're done with gas cars. Right now, grease the skids, dude. Like, make it happen.
I know. And I'm not saying I totally agree, but I don't think that there's a point there. There is a point that's
sure.
I hear.
I would like anything right now to ease the transition, because when I would drive to work and I can't see the mountains, it's like, dude, we cannot transition away from like gas soon enough. We cannot.
Well, if our grids can handle it too. I mean, that's
so pay for the grid. Soon. Like, we need to be done with gas. That's all I gotta say. If you're looking for something non-Longmont related and you want to have a hell of a 10 minutes or whatever, here is a video on the YouTube. It's
the YouTube.
It's all over the place. You can find this. It's got 10 minutes of Neil Diamond and Devo doing Hey Hey My My.
This is getting cut for sure.
No, you should check it out. It's profoundly weird. It's exceptional. That's all I got to say. You got to check it out.
Link in the description.
Yeah, link in the description.
Exactly.
Get it.
Okay, hang on. Back to my restaurant news.
The dude from Devo's like wearing a baby mask the whole time and like shaking his head. It's super weird.
All right. Thank you, great. Brady. Thank you for bringing that to the table.
Dude, people want diverse range of information. Reach your restaurants.
This is big news.
Okay.
Rosario's, our founders, beloved founders, one of his favorite places, Peruvian restaurant over there at Ken Pratt in Maine, is now serving alcohol.
Oh.
And this was the perennial gripe for so many people. Mm-hmm. And they got their liquor license and they are now serving booze. And I didn't know, it's as of like 6 months ago, so it's been around for a minute. But check out Rosario's if you've been on the fence, because it doesn't have booze, myself included.
Right, yeah. I've heard that one point, well, this is from EcoCycle, so we don't know how accurate this is, but 1.5 billion fewer plastic bags used in Colorado thanks to the bag fee.
Okay, but I'm confused, because you can still get plastic bags at certain stores. I've definitely been able to get...
Yeah,
they're like there. And so I was wondering, how is it just like,
I think it's
rolling
a
transition
process.
Yeah, like they can't get any more other than
I
the ones they were ordered.
I heard a cashier at Safeway go, we're just going to keep giving these bags until they tell us not to.
Right, because they probably got so many.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to run through it. But I don't think they can order more, maybe.
Okay, that would make more. That's a good theory.
It's something we'll all be watching, because we all live and eat groceries. And ostensibly most of us go to the store to buy our own. So we'll find out, I guess. Hard-hitting news. Longmont to hash out marijuana licensing rules. So Longmont remove its four-store cap on retail marijuana establishments and allow cannabis hospitality businesses to operate within the city.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like a cannabis bar?
I think, like, probably.
Where you can, like, serve.
That's what I'd assume hospitality means.
Yeah. And I think the delivery stuff, too, I think. So that's on the docket. I don't know if that's... they're going to hash it out, which is clever, because it's a marijuana reference.
Interesting.
In case you missed
one.
It.
Nice one.
That's a shout out to some of our squares who tune in.
Okay, so Fire Station 2 opened.
Cool.
Aren't there two new fire stations?
Where's
like the sub place?
The one, there's the one at like on Pratt Parkway.
Yeah.
By the Safeway.
Yeah.
By the Safeway.
And I feel like there's another fire station that recently
opened. Yeah, I think there is. It's up further
which
north
one
or something.
Is it?
It's a great question. Deserves a good answer. You Google.
There's
and
like
I'll
a
say,
fire training
oh,
station.
Oh, the 17th one. That's it. 17th and Hoover up near there. So I think that's Fire Station 2. And that was rebuilt and they opened. And then the other one off Ken Pratt and Pratt Parkway is still not open.
It's not.
That's the idea.
Okay.
And I've heard they've had a lot of problems with these fire stations. The general contractor working on them wasn't super experienced in fire stations, and there've just been like a lot of issues in getting those over the finish line, budgetary restraints and whatnot.
At that same spot, they turned that. There used to be two lanes, and one of them got carved off into a turn lane. If you're going south, you're turning into Safeway off of.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's thrown me and I think a lot of people for a loop because I've.
Is it for the fire station?
It's to go into Safeway, basically. I don't know if it's because the fire station's there. And now it's a mandatory, you have to turn right
into that lane. And you get merge last minute.
It used to be two lanes that would squeeze down to one.
That's nice because it was very confusing. You move over because, like, there wasn't an obvious stop point or, like, if you go this early, you must turn.
Right.
So when you go in, you're like, I really hope the person behind me knows that I'm, like, turning right now and not later and doesn't hit me as I slow down.
Yeah, it was a weird section. That whole stretch of road is strange. I think in both ways. It's a little weird.
40 miles per hour speed limit. Like
it feels like a roller coaster. You know, like bomb down and curve around and
and then
join
like,
the river.
When if you're going north and you're like go over the bridge and you come back down and you're like up and down and then you take that turn and there's people coming down from like what was Terry up top.
Totally.
It's just like, oh, they're gonna hit me, and then they turn at the last second because it's like
it's quite the bridge. Like it goes really high. I guess because it needs freight trains to go under.
Yeah,
it's probably. When you really think about it, it's a pretty high bridge.
But it is weird. The traffic patterns. If you don't know, I found myself yelling at strangers on that. Get over! What are you doing?
Oh
get
yeah.
Get over! I know. I know. So like, there's been a lot of that on that road, and now there's more. They should maybe put like a signal, like a warning. Further back, because the first time it's like, well, it's a good thing I'm going to Safeway.
Right.
I'm going to Safeway. So that was the plan all along. So they changed that. So there's one to watch out for. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Grouse's of what's its Third and Sunset, where they meet, there's a hedge in some dude's yard there. It needs to be all trimmed up. Like we can't see. You can't see when the other, you got somebody off to your left, you can't see.
Wait, if you're going which way?
If you're going south on Sunset and like Third's there on your left. You can't see each other.
That's not true.
It's 100% true.
I drive through there all the time. That's not true.
Me too. Like, I drive through all the time.
You do live right there, actually.
Yeah, I live close. So, but the thing is, you pull up, and then somebody else pulls up to the stop sign, and, like, you both sort of irk forward, and you don't know who is there, and you don't know who went and when, and I'm like, okay, it's my turn to go, and I'll, like start creeping out, and this other person just hits the gas and goes, it's like every time I'm there, I get cut off, and it's like, I think I hit the right away, but... Also, I'm not entirely sure because there's a big shrub there. So, dude, if you can hear me, I appreciate.
Yeah, we'll file that one. We'll file that complaint.
Yeah, well, I don't want to be like the guy.
Just
lives
a sticky note on it.
Trim me, please. There's some. I could make some vulgarities about the trimming and the. But we'll stay away from that and just say I do sympathize with the guy that he wants a large green screen because it is Third and Sunset, but somebody's gonna get hit. Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't have anything else to you.
That's fine. We should probably talk to our guest.
Let's move to our Amanda.
She has to go.
Hello.
So you're an artist.
She is.
And guess what I found out? It turns out I have a piece of your artwork in my house.
Cool.
As of like a month ago, it was a gift to me, and it's a picture. It's a probably print of a painting of the St. Stephen's Church.
Oh, yeah.
Downtown.
That is one of my pieces.
I know, and it was so funny because we arranged you coming for this, and then I had gotten that. I didn't put the connection together until like a week ago. I was like, I think this is Amanda's. It's so cool.
I like that I'm sneakily taking over Longmont with my art.
I know. This is why we want to talk to you. It's so interesting.
Someone came over around Christmas to buy a couch for me, and she comes in and she's like, do I know you? And then I was like, I don't know. And then she sees my art and she's like, I have your art in my house.
That is cool.
Thank you.
That's got to be
What were they buying?
They were buying a couch for me off of a Facebook Marketplace.
I thought you said a cat.
No. Yeah. I'm keeping my kitty.
Where is she? Oh,
not
I don't know.
Sharing
tour
that.
My home and see my art. Oh, it's for sale. Yeah.
Okay, so you are focused on art of Longmont, but probably other things too. So tell us about your art.
Yeah, so... I'm an artist, graphic designer. I also teach classes, so I'm doing two free classes next month. They are donation-based classes at coffee shops. And then, what else do? My brain's just going. But I do, like, watercolor, pen and ink, and then I teach watercolor, pen and ink, and mug painting and paints at parties, that sort of thing.
Fun.
Yeah, so just started. So Brady noticed my mugs and my map.
I'm a mug guy.
And they're all like Longmont themes. So around 2020, when all of us were missing being out and about, I finally got to like get to know Longmont more because I've been in Boulder. We moved here in 2019. And I fell in love with JavaStop. And from JavaStop, I would slowly make my way to 4th. And by the time I got to 4th, I'd spent over an hour, like, talking to everybody and all the businesses. And then I'd be like, all right, I can't make it to 5th. I'm too tired. I gotta go home.
What, just going into businesses and talking to them
yeah,
and seeing what
they're
up to?
Yeah, just checking it out, exploring downtown. Nice. And that would happen, like, every time. And then...
Did you do that in Boulder, too?
No.
Okay.
No, I wasn't down... I wasn't close enough to downtown Boulder, and finding parking sucked. So the free parking here... And just having a coffee shop that had a couch, and we didn't have a couch at the time, so I would go there to make my art.
Yeah, yeah. Now you got too many. Too many. Now
yeah, now I had a surplus.
This decadent phase of your life where I was like, I had so many sofas, couches, Davenports, whatever you want to call them. Got to get some of these out of here.
Exactly, yeah.
Have you seen my art? For sale.
It's just painted all over the couch.
It might sell, you know?
Hell yeah. Well, they had that at La Vita Bella before, so.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, so in 2020 when we couldn't go out, my mom came to visit, and I was like, I really want to do, like, a map for downtown because that would be really cool because the one we have now is just colors, and it's not, like, those cool tourist maps. So I started laying it out, but – with the amount of detail that I like to do, which is like a seek and find where you can see every little brick of every building, I couldn't fit more than just that one block that I fell in love with. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, this is what we got.
So,
it was like radiating from JavaStop, my favorite places. So it was a lot of my art since then has been just a celebration of the places that make me feel good and connected to community and wanting to celebrate and uplift them by focusing on them in my art.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I have a random question.
Sure.
Would you and like any of your artist friends petition the city to redo the flag?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen it?
Petition, no, but love to redo the flag, yes.
I would love literally anything you came up
with. It's the one that looks kind of like a...
like a crack pipe.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
It's pretty weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, this is your like... bi-monthly awareness campaign. Go check it out. It feels
like tech, like a circuit board or something. I don't know what...
It's somebody gave me a description, and they're like, oh, it's supposed to evoke this, that. It's like, sure. I don't know.
The City of Longmont logo makes me really happy. We could just do that.
Did you just start jumping on the train of... because it's cool. I love that you do buildings. Mm-hmm. I love buildings. And they're meaningful, right? They are so much more than buildings for us. What about houses? Like, do people commission you to do their house when they, like, move
they
in
have.
Or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did one for someone over the holidays. She wanted to do her family home growing up for her dad for Christmas. So she paid for that. And then Martini's Bistro, if you go in there, they have a big 16 by 20 painting that I made of the bistro. And they hired me for that for that last year. And that was so incredible. I was like, oh my God, someone like really wants me to do a building and I'm not just doing it because I feel like it. They're like, what you do means something to me.
Right. And it's cool because you could potentially archive them at that point in time because obviously they change and those buildings between 3rd and 4th are undergoing massive renovation.
Yeah. It's already changed a lot since 2020.
Yeah. And have you captured those buildings before?
Some of them, renovation? I also added things that weren't there. Nice. That's kind of the fun of not having been hired to do it because no one's like, it has to be accurate. And you have to include everybody. And we have to be fair. It was like, I'm just going to do the places that I really like. So I'm not including the pawn shop. I'm sorry.
Oh, right. Exactly.
Count the bricks. I want them all.
Oh, man. And
I'm
also
paying for the whole bill and I want the whole thing represented.
If you look at the map, you're like looking west. So you have all the buildings on the west side of Main Street facing the right direction, but all the buildings on the east side of Main Street are flipped.
Mm.
Because in order to see the storefronts, you have to put them in the alley.
Right.
Right.
So it's really funny. When I was drawing it, I would like draw from left to right what it looks like. But then instead of the building next to it starting on the left side, it starts on the right side.
Oh, funny. Right.
So it's kind of a little weird juxtaposition.
Abstract almost.
Yeah. I told in the.
It's like you see it in your dream or something.
Yeah. And in the back, I include a little note. It was like, please don't use this as a map. It's not accurate. You will get lost.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not going to find your way home.
Like,
where's that restaurant? This thing's like right. 4 years old. I don't know if it's still
the
here.
Only thing that's where it's supposed to be is Java Stop. That's it. Mm-hmm. Everything else is a little funky.
The center of the universe is in the right location. Everything mm-hmm. else is sort of.
We just started there.
Relativity. It's like, oh, that's fine.
There's a book sale on top of the library. There's coffee shops on top of buildings. You know, like, this is just my favorite things. There's like 30 cats. Sorry. Not sorry.
You can't work, right? Yeah, and you do like commissions of animals and stuff too, right?
I do. I haven't in a while. Mm-hmm. That was my pre-COVID koi ink.
Okay.
So when I go to markets, that's kind of what I focus on because it's very marketable. Versus the Longmont stuff is very much Longmont specific, and I have some of that, but it's not. Apart from the map and the mugs, I haven't really capitalized much. I'm pushing that. So I'm like, well, bear sells really well, and the bunny sells really well, and the fox sells. So I'm just like, I have my display figured out.
Totally. That's funny. Yeah. We relate. We're podcast about Longmont. Our reach is only so big.
It's a subset.
You either take an interest or you don't.
Right. Yeah,
the Longmont stuff may not resonate with somebody from like Tuscaloosa.
I know. So I am doing a project for a company that I cannot disclose. Mm. And I'm doing the artwork on the packaging for art supplies.
Oh.
And I'm using Longmont on the packaging.
Really?
Sweet.
Because I want Longmont to be New York. Like, not really,
like
but
a Longmont, like. Is it a Longmont company? Mm-mm. I love it.
It's an international company.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow, you'll have to keep us posted on that one.
Yeah. So I can't talk about it right now. Like who it is or what the packaging is. But I listen to novels and they're like San Francisco and New York City and all like Boston. And I'm just like, why don't we have more of this just for Longmont? Like,
right.
I love finding Longmont musicians, Longmont artists, Longmont writers, and just like enjoying all of the. Like, I love Longmont, too, and, like, this is my celebration of that, and this is my experience, and not being like, well, it has to be in Chicago or New York, otherwise it's not relatable. Right. Like, well, we don't live there.
Right. Community life.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you balance between, because it seems like you are good at the business of being an artist, too. Mm-hmm. Sounds like you network a lot, and you have a handle on what things sell. How do you balance, you know, between having a business and marketing it and trying to be an artist and being true to the art form and where it has to compromise that sometime. Is that ever challenging?
I give myself a lot of structure. So my primary income comes from graphic design. So I do that freelance. And then it's my current method along with my standing appointment with Justin for stretching is – from 8 to 12, I do graphic design, and that's my part-time job. And then from 1 to 5, I can do anything. I can do art. I can do admin work, marketing, class stuff. And then everything that's business-related is really just meant to stay within those hours, but art can be anytime. So, like, that's kind of how I distinguish the difference.
And that art can still be prolific, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Like, you can still be making money from things you're doing, but it's not driven by the money. It sounds like.
Yeah, and I'm not working on commissions after hours. Mm-hmm. So I recently, my current drive is very nostalgic. My husband and I trying to start a family. So I've been thinking a lot about my history and where I grew up and family and like all this weird, I don't know if you guys experience this, but like when you think about your childhood, a lot of it feels like a fever dream and you're like, I don't really know if that happened.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And you're like, yes. Was that real? Yeah. So I'm going through those memories and trying to re-experience them. And I don't know how that will express itself in art, but that's kind of what I'm doing now. And I'm just creating a bunch of prompts to work through ideas or just do a bunch of random things and see what eventually comes out of me. Like just showing up, like you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, if you show up, I mean, and like if you're writing, and you just start stream conscious. You just do something until, you know, something might hit.
Exactly.
And so you just have to show up and start doing something.
Give time to it, and eventually, but it's the It will. I have so many things I wanted to say. It will come just by working. Like you'll start finding that thread that you're drawn towards, and trusting that, and being like, okay, well, let's just see where this goes. And then, in addition to that, that's how I made the map, was because in 2020 I would go on an art date with a friend, and we'd sit in the park, and I'd be like, I'm going to draw the landscape and the animals. And then I'm like, I don't want to draw the landscape and the animals. I want to draw my best friend because she makes me happy. And like, that's where it continued. And then I'd go to a coffee shop, Java shop, of course, and I'd be like, I'm going to draw an animal. And I'm like, no. And then I'm like, but you know that person sitting over there by the window with the lights? Gorgeous. I'm going to draw that person. And then I draw like the owners of Java Stop and the interiors like over and over again. And that's when I was like, oh, this is where I want to be. I don't, it's not marketable. I don't know how I'm going to ever make money drawing random buildings in Longmont, but I just have to trust that it's going to work out. At the time, I had a full-time job. So it was like, it's not like I need the money.
Right, right. Stephen King likened unearthing a story to an archaeological dig. In his book on writing, he talked about, like, sometimes you just find a little piece and then you excavate, and sometimes you have to be very delicate with it to, like, allow it to happen. And sometimes, you know, you need bigger equipment, but you really just have to kind of let that happen for you. Like, if you force it, then you're trying to sort of impose your will. And a lot of times in, like, when you're writing, if you're imposing too much will on it, it can sort of fall apart because it's overstructured and stuff. Mm-hmm. Tolkien notwithstanding. guy wrote one book for his entire life. But like it can be like that, where you follow your thread, you find your passion, and you just sort of let it, you know. And like if you force that, because I also play guitar, but if I say, I really want to master this song, and I get there and I'm like, this sucks, I hate this, like I don't care anymore, and then you're like, I want to do this. It's like, I'm still like, I'm not trying to make money off it, so I'm still pursuing this passion of mine.
Totally.
And you know, like it's very much that. So you have to keep that energy and the warmth and the like the all that.
Yeah, and I have a lot of art friends, and I've met so Longmont's such a creative community. It's filled with a lot of talented artists.
Interesting.
And I can talk more about that in another.
I'd love for you to
in another episode. Yeah.
No, I want to hear it now. I'm curious.
But when we talk about like how do we make more art, because it's very difficult. I know everyone listening here has made art in their lives at some point in school, and at some point felt like shit about themselves. Mm-hmm. And I want you to know that every artist feels that way. If you feel like you're an imposter, you're an artist. Like that's just it. And right. And like I said, it's about finding your mind and body hacks. And I would tell my friends and other artists, I was like, you're struggling, but you're also, every time when you talk to me, you're like, well, I really want to make art, but like I have to do blah, blah, blah first. Or I started so many projects, I can't do that. And I'm just like, that's why you're not feeling creative, because you're not letting yourself follow that thread of joy.
Right.
If you feel inspired, how often do you feel inspired? Like once a week, once a month, once a year?
Right.
Don't squash that by saying, well, you know, too bad, you've been a bad girl, you haven't done your chores, or you haven't done your 600 projects. Who cares? At the end of the day, YOLO.
In like the best way possible, right?
Yeah, like just do what you enjoy. Like I have plenty of art projects, but one day I was like, you know, I don't feel like doing that. I'm going to sew patterns on top of paper and like make these cards for friends. And it brought me so much joy. And I'm like, why wouldn't you just do it when you feel like it?
Yeah, 100%.
So, I mean, as long as you don't have like your kids dying or something.
Barring extreme circumstances.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah, my art, I'm bleeding profusely. Should probably focus in on this. I'm following my joy.
So do talk about the art scene in Longmont. I mean, we've talked about the collective that opened recently. What's
the called? Tumbleweed
Collective at 15th and Kaufman, roughly. That's exciting. Yeah. There's obviously a bunch of artists coming out of the woodwork there and getting a little bit more, I don't know.
Totally.
Yeah.
So Tumbleweed Art Collective is really great. They have a bunch of studio space, and it's becoming a really vibrant community. Like the more you have people excited to be there and creating that buzz, it will bring people in. The Firehouse Art Center, which we talked about at the beginning, they have several artists who host classes through them. They also have like Slay the Runway, which is a really cool thing for LGBTQIA plus teens to get into just fashion and confidence, and they can strut down the runway. So there's also Left Hand Artist Group, Longmont Artist Guild. There's St. Vrain Photography Society. There's LPM, which is a super creative place. It's Longmont Public Media. And there's also the Plein Air Artists of Colorado. So Plein Air is just painting outdoors, painting what you see. And then there's like Urban Sketch, which is more down and dirty.
Urban Sketch. Urban-y. So it's just people that want to come together and paint.
In my opinion, there's no difference between Urban Sketch and Plein Air. It's just Plein Air feels like it's for people who are in their 60s to 90s, and then Urban Sketch is for everyone else.
But that sort of erudite, like, oh, I've retired now. I've had a successful career. Yeah. And I'm going to go paint wildflowers.
Exactly.
As opposed to like, this building's gritty. Let's go and sketch. Right. They're like, charcoal. It's just,
and they're often in their sketchbook as opposed to like a finished painting. So, but in my opinion, both of them are just encompassing being in your experience, drawing what's in front of you and enjoying that moment instead of working from photos. So what I love about the creative community here is when I was about to move here in 2019, I went to Old Town Marketplace and I met Joanna Giddings, who does Ober Arts. She's a really cool artist. She also runs East Boulder County Artists, which is another arts organization. It's like 20, not really. It's like 7. But it's a lot. And when I met her, I went to the Firehouse Art Center and met another person who knew Joy. And then I went to the Left Hand Artist Group and they knew Joy. And it was just incredible how it became this like small town of people who were all artists, who all kind of knew each other. And then I go to downtown Longmont and talk to Kimberly and Colin and Mercedes, who was the Vista at the time. It's like an intern. They all knew Joy and they all knew everybody who was in Elaine Waterman from the Firehouse. And I was like, wow, this is so cool. It's like, I'm now a part of this like tight knit community of people who all know each other. And like, we're going to bring each other pies and go to each other's events and support each other. And everyone's been so welcoming. I'm like, I want to do it, blah, blah, blah. And they're just like, that sounds really awesome. What do you need for that? And I'm like, really? And they're like, yeah, well, let's just make it happen. I'm like, nice. Okay. Nobody's asking for credentials. No one's trying to get me to prove myself. They just
interesting.
Want to like
Can that happen contribute. Sometimes when it comes to, I don't know, art communities or what you want to
When I was in
Educate
Boulder.
Me. Yeah, no, tell me. I'm curious. Oh,
yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's a fair comparison because we get called like Boulder Light or whatever all the time. So like, what's the...
No, we're way more awesome than Boulder Light. We're Long Monsters. We're Longmont Proud. We're Belongmont.
Belongmont.
Loving it. Annie's is wincing like, Long Monsters.
I love Long Monsters. I think it's so cute.
And Annie's like, if I ever find the guy that came up with the term Long Monster, I swear to God, I'm going to go back in time.
You had the like Long Monster that Justin Veach came up with for the, it was like the Long Monster talk show. And it was so cute and so dorky. That's what I love about Longmont. It's just so nerdy. There is no shame. You're not abashed at all at like being 100% you and like just going all in.
It's like kind of like gets to be so goony that it like circles all the way back around from being bad to being like, it's awesome.
It's pretty great.
Full
like,
send. Yeah.
A lot of people love it when you're your authentic self and when you're just full on.
Yeah.
And it's just great to see someone else get doing that gives you permission to do it yourself. Yeah. And then you're just like, wow, like I'm not interested in that at all, but like I just love listening to you talk about it, you know?
Right.
Just keep going. Longmont is full of people who are obsessed with Longmont, which you've got Justin Veach, like I said, the Long Monster show that he was doing. You've got me, you guys.
Live from
there's,
the basement.
Matt Eldridge, who did this video called Longmont is My Town. Have you guys seen this video? It's the best thing ever. It was the first thing I saw that like started me on this trend. I was like, oh, I need more of this.
Sounds so funny. We have to add that and this book to the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
for real.
Awesome.
I will say, like, to circle back a little bit, I love the energy that you bring. And like, one, like, there's this sort of trend to just like write cringe in all caps about everything these days. Like, because like cringe, like what if you ever try, you know, it's like cringe. And it's like, get out of here with that.
Yeah. And even if it doesn't feel good, because there's going to be a lot of time where you just are like, I suck at this, or like, this is supposed to be my favorite thing, but what I'm making now is making me miserable and I don't know why. Right. Yeah. So I want to encourage people to, like, it's not just feels good, but like, there's that like intense desire and craving to create, and you're like, but I just really want to keep drawing and I don't know why or I don't know what. And like I said, like finding warm-ups or hacks that like are super low pressure, not very important, but you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. I did that.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. And then just to keep you going, because I feel like what the difference between someone who makes art and someone who doesn't make art is they wanted it so badly, that craving was so strong that they just kept showing up even though they hated themselves and they hated everything they made and they felt like I've gone through several multi-year periods of not making art and feeling like total garbage. And every time I wanted to make art, it was like a very painful like longing, but you can't have this. So yeah, I want everyone to know that like, even if it really, really doesn't feel good, right, it's okay.
It can still be rewarding.
You are not alone.
Right.
So, also, I teach, and I'm a really gentle teacher.
Oh, wait. I don't do art, and I want to come to your class. Just
good.
I want to keep hanging on all your words, yeah. So you don't have to just come.
Oh, thank you.
Find the inner artist that is really not there.
It is 100% my goal to make people feel good when they make art. I mean, I right now am having a hard time, like I said, figuring out where my drive, where that thread is for me right now. So even through that, like I really love helping people and just make I like calling it tricking them into learning something, because I call it a paint and sip, or I'll say we're gonna go on a hike and draw, we're gonna go hiking, you're gonna bring a buddy and then we're gonna draw, and you're not even worried about that, you just came here for the hike because it sounded cool, and then I'm gonna show you how to use watercolor. And I love that. I love it when they like get it and they're like, I know exactly what I want to do when I go home and how to push this further. I'm like, yes.
How fun.
Yeah. So I'm never going to make you feel bad when you're making art.
So tell us some of your upcoming classes.
So I'm doing a drawing class at Cave Girl Coffee House on February 3rd at 10 in the morning.
Okay.
And then I'm doing one, I haven't decided on the location yet, but it's watercolor. I think it's like February 24th, also a Saturday at 10. And then starting from there, it's paid classes. So those first two are free in air quotes, but they're donation based. So you can just give me a dollar if you really can't afford it and you just want to come by.
The first one's free, kid, but then you're hooked.
Yeah, exactly. And then after that, I'll be doing three drawing intensive classes through Longmire Recreation and then several hike and draws starting in April.
That's awesome. Yeah. And where can people find your art? Where can we go find your pieces other than your website? And
everywhere.
I'm sure, okay, tell us.
Yeah, it's a lot of locations. Brady, if you looked at the back of that brochure, it had a like very long list.
I got a whole
Maybe who has, some good selections.
Yep. So you can find it at Tumbleweed, Firehouse Art Center, Java Stop, Landline Donuts, Hygiene in Mountain Fountain, Boulder Bookworm. Those are a few of the places.
Great.
What was the second question?
And your website.
Oh, yeah. So my website is koyinkstudio.com, and that is C-O-Y-I-N-K, and then studio with no S, .com. Mm.
Studio. We'll put it in the show notes, too.
Yes.
Well, this was so fun. Yeah. I really enjoyed listening to you. It's you express the experience of being an artist and the process so eloquently. It was really fun to listen to you.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Well. Is that all she drew?
It's almost five.
It is. I know. We gotta go stretching.
Do we have an outro song?
We do. We'll cut that in.
Do
you want to sing it?
Sweet.
Well, we thank Andy Epler and David Cutter Music for our intro and outro music, and hit us up at sidedishlongma@gmail.com if you have any comments, share, like, all that good stuff, and thank you so much, Amanda, for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Bye, y'all.